V'samach yaday arish oyla v'nirtz lo l'chaper lav. Smicha. Smicha, we have here the halacha that the kohen will rest his hand upon the head of the oyla v'nirtz loy, and it will be acceptable to him l'chaper lav, to achieve atonement upon the animal. What does all that mean? Let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Dalet says over here. It says here Pasuk Dalet v'samach al roish oyla lahavi. First of all, there's a Rashi in the previous pasuk. Okay, no, let's just go further. Al Raisha Oyla, Lahavi Oyla, Lahavi, Oyla Schoiva, Lismicha, Ulahavi Oyla Satsoin. What is this pasuk coming to teach us? The pasuk is coming to teach over here two things. Number one is that a carbon Oyla requires Smicha. There's a din of Smicha when a person brings a carbon, generally, before they slaughter the animal, the owner, the person who is bringing the carbon, must rest his hands upon the head of the animal. Not just rest, he has to push down upon the animal with his full weight. Smicha is a violent act. You don't just lean gently. You have to really lean all of your weight upon the animal. And this pasuk is coming to teach us that the law of smicha applies even to a carbon oila. What's the chiddush? One may be misled to believe that smicha only is required when you bring a carbon chatas, a sin offering, but a carbon oila is not a sin offering. Carbon oila is more of a gift. So why should you be required to lean upon the animal? Let us explain. When you lean upon the animal, in essence, what you're doing, what you're saying, what you're expressing, is that I should really be the sacrifice. When you lean upon the animal, you're expressing, you know, I should be the sacrifice. Why am I not offering my neshama to Hashem? Because Hashem does not want human sacrifice. So therefore, I'm not going to give myself. I'm not going to offer myself. So instead, the animal will go in my place because that's what Hashem wants. Now that's all fine and good when a person has done an avera and he needs atonement. So then you can argue that the person should be the one who offers himself as a sacrifice. But when a person has not done an avera, he just wants to bring a gift to Hashem, then there's no need for you to be the sacrifice, and the animal should be the replacement. And if that is correct, then there's no real need to do smicha. Along comes this pasuk and teaches us it does not matter. Even when you bring a carbon oiler, you must do the act of smicha and lean upon the animal before the animal is offered. But when they lean the animal, I'm assuming there's some psukim that you say, you confess, whatever it is. But without going into the details here, it tells us that this pasuk is teaching us lahavi oilas choiva l'smicha ulahavi oilas atzayin, and it's teaching you also that there are no different types of oila. You can bring an oila from a large animal, from a small animal. Bakar are large, massive animals. Tzayin are small animals. They're not so expensive. Thus, maybe you'll argue, when you bring a massively large animal, that's when you need to do smicha. When you bring a small animal, you do not need to do smicha. That's what the pasuk is teaching you, that even when you bring a small animal, you need to do smicha. Next, ho'ila. What is the word ho'ila? Pra'al lo'ila so'if. That you do not do smicha on a bird. When you bring a bird as an oila, there is no smicha. V'nir tzoloi, what does this mean? Almahu merat tzoloi. Question, what does this mean? That this carbon is going to atone for sin. There's no such thing. A carbon oila is not brought for a sin. And that's Rashi's question. Mahu miratz aloy imtam al kresus. Umisa is bezdin. Umisa v'deshamayim omalkos. Hari oinshan omor. There's no such thing. These people who have committed crimes have to suffer the consequences. Ha'ein miratz ela alasei v'alav hanchenitik leasei. Okay, this is a very important halacha. And it's teaching us the very fact that it says in the pasuk that you didn't smich on a carbon oila, on tzoin, v'nir tzoloi, it will be accepted for him, l'chaper olav, to achieve atonement. It's teaching you that a carbon oila is also going to provide atonement. For what? For the bittul of a mitzvah asay. Ordinarily, if a person does not do a mitzvah asay, what is an example of a mitzvah asay? A mitzvah asay is since it's not a good example, what's a simple example of a mitzvah? I say a person doesn't daven. let's assume that we accept like the Rambam that davening every single day is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Vavadetem es Hashem Elokeichem. To daven once a day is a mitzvah d'oraisa. To wear tefillin is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Let us say that a person, for whatever reason, did not wear tefillin one day. Chas v'shalom. A person one day did not daven. So does he need to bring a korban? No. Nowhere in the Torah is there an obligation to bring a korban for not davening, for not wearing tefillin, for not putting a mezuzah on one's home. Doesn't say anywhere in the Torah you need to bring a korban. However, a person should volunteer to bring a korban oila and have in mind that this korban oila should be an atonement for not being fulfilling a mitzvah d'oraisa, a positive commandment. And then there's a lav hanitik la'aseh. What is a lav hanitik la'aseh? When a person commits a lois ha'aseh, for example, noisar, if a person leaves over from a korban, that's like a classic example, it is forbidden, the Torah tells us to eat korbanos, and the Torah gives us a very set time to how long the korban can be eaten, for one day and one night. A person deliberately decides he's not going to eat the remainder of the korban, and he's going to allow it to become noisar. Does he get malchus? The answer is no. Why not? Because the Torah says that if you are in violation of this loisaseh, you can repair it by fulfilling a mitzvah saseh of burning it. If a person is a ganaf, he steals, and he's caught, does he get malchus for the iser d'oraisa of stealing? No. Why not? Because the Torah said there's an aseh that can repair the lois aseh. The heshev es hagzela, return the theft. So whenever you have an aseh that comes to repair lois aseh, then there is no malchus, and there's no punishment. Although there is no punishment, corporeal punishment, but a person should feel the obligation to bring a voluntary korban oila to achieve atonement for his aveira. This is what Rashi says. Okay, very straightforward. Let's read the Targum. Targum here says pasik dalit. V'yismoichi de al resh alosa, he shall lean his hands upon the head of the oila. The Yisra'ele, that means v'nirtze. This means the lashon of ru'usa. Rava d'rava, shalosh su'udos. It's called rava d'rava, the desire of the desire. It's an expression of will, yearning. V'nirtze, he's translating the Yisra'ele. It should be acceptable to him, a yearning. L'chaparo alohi, as an atonement for him. Now let's see the deeper meaning of this pasuk over here. And always on the side, in the Ma'at Sari, it says here the word yidei. Targum b'loshim yochid, kilosh makasif. So here's he's coming over here to make a whole big issue. V'samach yodo. The word yodo means one hand. It does not say yodov. It says yodo, and indeed yidei, it means one hand. Now, kolosh nakosv avol chazal kavu shasmicha b'shtei yadav. We got a problem. The entire problem is that in the Gemara, when it says the word yodo, yodo is lav dafka, you should rest both of your hands upon the animal. So, okay, so what? Problem is that unkelis atzmoi, himself in mekoyim ha'sacherim, there are many places in the Chumash where the Torah mentions the bringing of korbanos, and the Torah prescribes that the owner should lean his hand upon the animal, and elsewhere, Unkelis, when it comes to the word yodo, he translates the word yodo b'loshon rabim, reflecting what it says in Chazal, how they interpret the halacha that Yeshua should lead both hands. He writes, shinam b'loshon akasav v'tigim yodo b'loshon rabim. So he's not coming to answer the question. He's not answering the question, why over here does the Targum translate over here b'loshon yochid, not b'loshon rabim? Here, let's go further. I have an answer for that in one moment. L'chapora, for atonement. Af shatir game kolashon amikra kid l'filas ramban yesh lohavin, we should understand unkelis mafarish kaper lashon hasada v'havara. It means to remove the hakavana shebenisines adam al mizbech yosir avonai, his sin is atoned. V'chein v'chein das Rashi v'radak v'chein kesel v'malbim shadash shaldas harushalmi v'hazoyar kaper hu me'inyin nikiyos cleanliness. Aval adas Ramban atzmai v'ibn Ezra loshen kaper hu loshen koifer v'loshen pidyon redemption. Shalidei hakorban poydin av shaklosh nakosu v'chil chaper al nafsho sechem v'im perish ha'ibn Ezra v'chiper loy al ha'koydesh liyos adam koifer shlo yish koifer shlo Yishachis b'avur tumas hatmeim. All right, so he's saying over here, he's getting involved, going a little bit off the topic, and he's only coming to tell us something. This is a big topic in and of itself. Whenever it says in the Torah the word kapara, what is the precise translation of the word kapara? What exactly does that mean? So many mefarshim may learn the word kapara. What it really means is it's just concealed. Kapara means the person really is guilty. The sin is there. It's just the sin is temporarily covered. It's sheltered, but a person has a very big and all that means is, it's not going to do you harm. You don't bother it; it won't bother you. Like we said this morning about asbestos. If you have in the basement asbestos and you don't want to get rid of it, it's fine. You don't bother it; it won't bother you. But if you want to sell your house. If you want to sell your house and they come down to make an inspection for the mortgage, the bank comes down and they see that there's asbestos in the basement, they're not going to sell the house. They're not going to, the bank is not going to give a mortgage. They're not going to proceed until the asbestos is removed. Why? It's there. Oh, but it's harmless. I had it all the years. It doesn't bother me. Yeah, you're right. You don't bother it. It doesn't bother you. As long as you're there, you're not selling the house. It doesn't make a difference. But when you want to sell your house, then there's going to be an accountability. You have over here asbestos. You got to take care of it. That's what it means, kapara. Kapara means until there's kapara, there's a danger. There is something in your home that is a real threat to your existence. So what do? You do something about it that it no longer is a threat, but it's still there. It's still present. It's still there. That's called kapara. Kapara means you have neutralized the threat. But the threat is still there. And the day will come when there will be an accountability that the threat must be completely eliminated. To neutralize the threat is not sufficient. It has to be eliminated. That's the simple understanding of the word kapara. Kapara in contrast to tahara. Tahara, purity, or nikios, cleanliness, connotes that the sin has been purged. It's gone. There's no record there ever was asbestos here. Kapara just means it's here, but it's been neutralized, and it's not a threat. So the question over here is, what does the Targum mean? Because the Targum over here says, L'chapara, the Targum over here is avoiding the whole issue. The Targum over here, he doesn't want to get involved. He's on strike. He's on vacation. He doesn't want to get involved. And he writes, L'chapara, av shetikim kloshon amikro. Over here, he's just being very diplomatic. Because it's really a nightmare to precisely translate this word. Now the Ma'at Tzori presents in his expertise all of the Rishon, which are very worthy to learn, the Das Ramban, who understands that Ulkalis Mefarish Kaper Lashon HaSar V'Havara, he has an analysis, and I don't know if it's from over here, the word Kaper means to remove. V'Havara, what does that mean? V'Yakavana Shemesis Adam Yalamzech Yosir Avoynoi. Okay, it says, according to one interpretation, it means to remove the sin. More than what we just said. We said the sin has not been removed, the sin is present. It seems to learn, this is the Ramban. Okay, the Ramban, I'm not looking at the Ramban now, but the Ramban seems to say the word kapara is a very powerful word. It means the sin is no longer. The Radak and the Malbim learn from the Yerushalmi and the Zoyar as well, that kapara hu me'inyin nikiyos, it means cleanliness. Cleanliness. Now, which is interesting, but Aladas Rabban Atzav Ibn Ezra, we have Unkelus. You see, the Rabban is medactic in Unkelus. Now, there's a very big difference between those two words. Because if you have a sin, make believe you have on your Shabbos afternoon, and you're eating a delicious cholent, and someone comes in and pushes the table in a certain way, and the whole plate of cholent falls on your beautiful, sparkling white shirt. So what happens now? You have cholent all over you. Beans, potatoes, meat, gravy. What are you going to do? So you take off all the beans and the potatoes from your shirt. You remove it. you remove all of these objects that are on your shirt. But what happens after you remove the objects on your shirt? Look at your shirt. It's stained. It's dirty. You can remove the potatoes, the beans, and the meat. But there's going to be a zecher ledavar. Zecher lemikdash kehila. There's going to be a zecher. Oh, look at my shirt. There's a stain, a deep stain from what once happened. And that you can't get rid of. You try to go to the cleaners, the dry cleaners. They're going to try to remove it. Will they be matzliach? Will they not be matzliach? One thing is for sure. Even if they succeed in removing the stain, they're going to ruin the shirt in the process. They're going to damage the fibers in the process of extracting the stain from the shirt. You can remove the cholent, but you can't remove the stain. The other commentators, the Zoyar, the Malbolm, and the Radak, they have a much more profound understanding of the word kapara. It means to remove cleanliness. Not just remove the cholent, to sanitize the shirt completely as if it never existed. And then the Ramban himself says, and Ibn Ezra, kapara lashon koifer, a whole new pshat, it means redemption. It's not even dealing with the sin. It's dealing with a different issue. A person committed a sin, which basically means you have a debt. You've done a sin. Forget about. Let's forget about the damage. When a person does an avera, you know you're a different person. You're now no longer sensitive to this issue. Person, he talks during davening. He never spoke before during davening. Now he talks during davening. Oh, it's not so bad. You've become desensitized. We're not addressing the issue. You have a real problem. Maybe, in fact, the sin is still, the cholent is still on your shirt. The stain is certainly there. But you know something? According to Ibn Ezra and according to the Ramban, if a person does an avera, not only is the stain there, the cholent is all over you. It's still there. You're going to have to deal with that at another time. But there's another issue. You got to pay. You got to pay up. You've done a crime. Forget about removing the damage and removing, cleaning up the mess. A crime in and of itself demands payment. You've committed a crime. You have to pay. You're going to suffer. There's going to be retribution. So you bring a carbon, and the carbon serves as a redemption from the punishment that is coming to the person for his actions. Now, after he redeems the punishment, then you have to address the sin. The sin has to be dealt with separately. The sin is there, the roisha, the impression, the stain. That's a separate different issue. And that's what it says, Reperish Ibn Ezra, it means koifer, it means nothing more than it is. So if we leave and just learn this alone today, it's kedai. Even though it has nothing to do with Rashi, the Unkelis, but his teaching us the word of the Lord Kapara, he's presenting to us three very different meanings of the word Kapara. According to the middle answer, it's a powerful thing. When the person brings a carbon, the experience is so powerful, it's as if he's been cleansed. It never happened. There's no stain on his shirt. According to the Unkelis, the way the Ramban understands Unkelis, not here, elsewhere, it means the sin has been removed, but the stain is still there. According to the Ramban himself, it means redemption. A person committed an avera. When he does an avera, he has a debt. He has a debt to pay. He's going to be punished. He has to go do something to redeem himself from this sin. Now, fine. That's what it means, kapara. That's really not relevant. Because does Rashi say anything about kapara? Because that's not really relevant over here for our purpose. Unless I miss Rashi. Rashi does not talk about kapara. Yeah, but the other part is something which is very, very interesting. And that is when he starts off asking the question, V'yismach yidei. He will lean his hand. The word yidei in Aramaic with half the end means a single hand. And indeed it says over here, v'samach yodo, one hand. Question. According to Chazal, Chazal tells us you have to put that on the animal. How many hands? 2 hands. So how come elsewhere, when you have the same exact expression, Samach Yodo, in other psukim, in other korbanos, the Targum indeed says the word Yodo, in Aramaic, Yodo means, or Yidei, I think without the hey, I'm not sure exactly, but the Targum translates there and elsewhere, B'loshen Rabin, he is loyal to Chazal, that when it says Yodo, it doesn't mean one hand, it means both hands. It's a figure of speech, it means, but yet over here, the Targum says only one hand, not two hands. My high. What's going on? Why did the Targum deviate from what he does elsewhere? So I want to suggest to you that's exactly what Rashi is coming to address. Rashi says, Oisoi. I'm sorry, Rashi over here says, the Nirtzeloi, it will be acceptable to him, What is he coming to say over here? He's saying over here is that, I'm giving you a suggestion, that being that this atonement is a lightweight atonement, a regular carbon chatos, for what does it bring atonement? For the big things, kores. It gives kapara on kresos. If a person would have done an avera, bemaze it. He would be chayef kares. So now that he did the avera by accident, he brings a korban chatas. But the fact that if he would have done this, the avera b'mezid, he would not even be chayef misa. For example, Shabbos. If a person is mechalel Shabbos b'mezid with witnesses and a warning, he is executed by bezid. He's chayef misas bezid. If a person is mechalel Shabbos b'mezid willingly, and there are no witnesses, then Beis Din does nothing to him, but in Shamayim, in heaven, they declare upon him that he is Chayiv Kares. What does that mean exactly? I don't know, no one knows. It means whatever it means. It's not a good thing, that's for sure, but he's Chayiv and Shamayim Kares, to be cut off. And then, we have, so that's serious. So then if a person did that Shabbos by accident, a Shoyeg, he brings a korban chatos. So when your person brings a korban chatos, you know what that means? It means he's bringing atonement for an avera. That's a very serious avera, because had he done it b'nezid, he would have been chayiv misa or been chayiv kares. So now that he did it b'shoyeg, he's going to bring a karma. It's a very serious avera. But when it comes to a carbon oila, even if he would have done the avera b'mezid, nothing happens to him. A person is in a violation of not being mekayim mitzvahs deraisa. That's only an assay. He refuses to take on Yom Tov, the Lulav, and the Esrei. He refuses to listen to the Shofar. He refuses to wear tefillin. He refuses to put a mezuzah on his home. No one's going to do anything to him. No one's going to punish him. No one's going to come and beat him. No one's going to give him malchus and mizus bezed. Nothing's going to happen to him. So now, let's say he does not do so by accident or even whatever the case is. So now the Torah tells him, bring a carbon, and this carbon will brief you an atonement. So what was our question? So you bring an atonement? Oh, an atonement for doing an avera. So that's why you need to do smicha. Okay, we have to explain this. We said in the beginning, leaning your hand on the animal, doing smicha on the animal, is a statement that I have done an avera, and I am guilty, and I have an obligation. And there's an element of guilt. But the element of guilt when it comes to mitzvah saseh is minor relative to the degree of guilt when it comes to aloi saseh with the zechi of misa, of kares. It's much, much more minor. Exactly. So I want to suggest that's why the Targum was precise when he said the word yodei. Being that it's minor, you only have to lean one hand, not two hands. The other examples in the Torah where you have to lean two hands are by korbanos, where if you would have done that avera b'meizit, there would have been misas bezdin, there would have been chayve kresos. Now that you did it b'shoigek, so you bring a korban. But the avera is a very severe avera. And that's why in those psukim, those korbanos, when you do smicha, which expresses the idea that I am guilty and I do need atonement, you need to use both hands. And the Targum reflects that by translating the word yodoy b'loshen yochid b'loshen rabin. But when it comes to a korban oilah, whose only purpose is to atone for a lightweight, relatively speaking, a lightweight avera, so the avera is not so severe, then to distinguish that the avera is not so severe, you still need atonement, you only lean one hand and not two hands. So I want to suggest to you that that's exactly the purpose of Rashi. Rashi, the Nir Tzilu, will be acceptable for him. Rashi is coming to explain very carefully what this is all about and tell you that it's for Nasei. And being that it's for Nasei, and it's not, because Rashi is being very elaborate. In other words, Rashi could say the same thing over here by just saying the Nir Tzilu and could say, Almahu Meratze, Ha'in Meratze, El alasei v'alav shenitik liasei. Why didn't Rashi just cut to the chase and say v'nirtze loy alasei v'alav hanitik liasei? Why did Rashi have to elaborate and give us his entire conversation? It can't be referring to misas bezdin and chayve kresos, because those, or Misa B'dei Shemaim, because those are Averos, or Malkus, because those are Averos, already said. What does Rashi need to say all of that for? If Rashi will just say with the simple word that's Meratz al Alav, Asei V'Alav Hanitik Liasei, then we will be satisfied. Well, what? Rashi is coming to bring and make a contrast. He's coming to say that this Korban is coming to be Meratz on Averos that are not nearly as severe as the serious aliyos. And that explains what the Nir Tzilui is. And that also indirectly is coming to explain the Targum why in this instance maybe, I don't know if this is halachically correct. Is there such a thing where we're saying is it halachically correct to go to the Rambam? How does Rambam paskin and the Rambam writes all the halachas? How many hands indeed do you really need to do smicha? Maybe what I'm saying is this total nonsense. Maybe there is no such opinion. Or maybe there is, we don't pass like this, but this is a question which has to be addressed as to why the Pasuk says B'loshon Yochid, Yodoy, and the Targum sometimes translates it B'loshon Yochid, sometimes B'loshon Rabim, and we do know that generally, when it comes to Korbanos, you have to do it with two hands. All right, let's go to the next Pasuk. Pasuk 8, V'shochad Esben HaBokal Fnei Hashem. Now here we have the word V'shochad. The word V'shochad is a very popular word, and it means, and the translation of the word V'shochad is V'yikois. Okay, V'yikois, I'll tell you for a moment. He's going to do the slaughtering. L'fnei Hashem, V'yikrivu, B'nei Aaron, Achayim, Esadam, they're going to bring near the blood, the zarku, they're going to sprinkle. Okay, zrika means to throw. We like to translate the word to sprinkle. That's not really correct. Let's see, v'zarku, they will throw esadom al mizbech saviv, all around the mizbech asher pesach ohel moed. There are two mizbeches. There's the mizbech that's the pesach ohel moed, and there's the mizbeach that's in the ohel moed. So here it says that the carbon is going to be offered in the mizbeach that's outside the ohel moed, the big mizbech. Let's see Rashi. Rashi v'asakei v'shochat v'krivu ha-koyhanim. So the Gemara makes a drasha. Since the only time we have the word koyhanim only appear after the word v'kumoy, v'kabola v'elich mitzvahs kuhuna v'lam v'lim v'al-shidash k'shem v'zor. We know that when it comes to a carbon, there are four parts. Every carbon has four parts. Part number one is the shechita, is the slaughter. Part number two is to accept the blood, to take a basin and put the basin under the neck of the animal and allow the blood of the animal to flow into the basin. The one that does this must be a kohen. Number three, there's something called chaylocha. After the blood has been collected in the basin, the blood is escorted to the mizbeach. You have to walk, you have to travel, you have to walk to the mizbeach, And then comes number four, is where the zrika, where you sprinkle, or you throw, you apply the blood to the mizbeach. These four avodos are essential, and there's an enormous amount of discussion in Masechta Zvachim about the unique nature of each one of these four parts. Now, a question over here is, who does these four parts? Typically, we would assume that the Kohanim, they do all four parts. That's not correct. Me'ikar, according to the letter of the law, a regular Yisrael is permitted to do the actual shechita, the slaughtering of the animal. What needs to be done by the Kohanim first begins with Kabbalah ve'eloch. So here it says in Pasuk of Shachan v'hikri v'akoyanim, v'kabbalah v'eloch mitzvahs kohuna. Only from Kabbalah, receiving the blood in the basement, do we require a kohen. Limin ala shchita shekshar b'zor. Because the Pasuk only says, look at the words of the Pasuk. It says first v'shachat, esper ha'bokah l'fnei Hashem, and makes no mention of a kohanim. Then when it comes to the word v'hikrivu, the hikriv means you will bring it near. And in this context, Chazal understood the word v'hikrivu to mean the Kabbalah. Okay, even though that's not really such a great word for Kabbalah, but that's how it's understood, the v'hikrivu. They're going to bring the blood near. And the way, the process of bringing the blood near the Mizbech begins is by accepting from the basin. B'nei Aharon HaKohanim es Adam. That's the first time we find the Kohanim are involved. So that's how we know this halacha. Okay, next halacha, next l'fnei Hashem. You do this before Hashem. Ba'azorah. Where do you do the shechita? It's teaching you halacha. It's done inside the Beis HaMikdash. Do not make a mistake and think that you can do the shechita in the lobby of the Waldorf and collect the blood and then get in a taxi and bring the blood to the Beis HaMikdash with zrika. No such thing. The shechita and the kabbalah have to be done lifnei Hashem in the azara. Next, each was judged the krivu zu kabbalah. We said it. That's why. How do you know the word kabbalah? First, you do Kabbalah. After Shechita, that's the first thing you do. Shehi Harishayna. And after you do Ha'ilah, you do Kabbalah. You have to walk with the blood to the Mizbeach. And then, so this thing over here is that this one word, V'ikrivai, connotes both Kabbalah and halacha, and being that it says b'nei Aharon HaKohanim, it must be done specifically by the Kohanim. B'nei Aharon, it says yachal chalolim, tavolaymar ha-Kohanim. If we just say b'nei Aharon, that would connote any one of Aaron's children can do the, anyone can do the avoida, even a person who's a balmum, has a blemish, kamash mulan, even chalolim, even a product of, let's say, a Kohen marries a divorcee, a grusha, or any type of forbidden relationship, so the child becomes a cholol, and therefore that's why it says the next words ha-koyhanim. Koyhanim has a connotation that they are not nichulale. Es adam, the zorko as adam, the blood, and they'll sprinkle the blood. Matam lema dam dam beis pamim. The pasuk says the word dam twice. Is that necessary? Lahavi esh and esari b'ninoi al b'shem b'ninoi. To teach you that even in a situation where the blood of your carbon got mingled, intermingled with the blood of another carbon, it's okay. In other words, there are two bloods. You have over a basin. In the basin, there are two bloods, and they get intermingled, it's okay. You can still sprinkle the blood even though they mix together. Why? Okay, so he's telling us the limitation. Even though I just told you that if you have blood of a carbon that got mingled with another blood, you can proceed, provided that the blood goes in the same location. But if you have blood from one of these three examples, it gives me there are certain limitations. Not going into the details. There are certain carbonates the blood is put below the mizbech, the lower portion of the mizbech. Some carbonates the blood is put in the top part of the mizbech. There are some carbonates that the blood is sprinkled on the pareches, and the blood is applied to the mizbech hazov, and then the regular carbonates are only applied to the mizbech achitzayim. Whatever it is, all the different details, if those bloods get intermingled, you cannot just go and do the zrika and say, wherever in the carbon, in the collection, the basin is the blood of my carbon, do it on the mizbeach. No, you cannot do that. There's a halacha that sometimes we do allow you, if you have two carbonates whose blood got mixed together, we allow you to do the sprinkling, and it works for both carbonates. Are there other scenarios where if the blood of two karbanos can mingle together, then you have to stop, cease and desist. You have to halt. You are not allowed to bring the karban. Okay, that's what's in here. Let's see. Maybe what it means, sav, means you apply the blood like a line. You shall dash it on the mizbech 360 degrees like a chut. How do you know? It says what sav. How do you know what's kavalevar? Vizorku. Okay, let's clarify. First of all, it says over the word vizorku. Now, how do you do vizorku? Okay, vizorku does not mean to sprinkle. Vizorku means, he explains over here, vizorku, he actually explains it, I say over here. Vizorku, minakli l'koytzal mizbech l'matabchana sikr. Now, basically, imagine having here the cup. Okay, you have a cup in your hand. And in the cup is the blood. The way you do zurika is you hold the cup and you throw it. You throw it with force, and then you suddenly stop, and the velocity in the cup will cause the liquid that's not attached to the cup to keep on going. And it's going to spurt on the mizbeach. That's called zurika. There's something called hazah. What's hazah? Hazah means you dip your fingers into the blood and you sprinkle. You go and you fling your fingers. That's called zurika. That's not common. That's done on Yom Kippurim. That's not done on a regular carbon. Regular carbonists have usually what's called zurika. And that's when you put the blood in the lower portion of the mizbeach. And then there's something, there is a chatas, what is it by a chatas? A chatas, you go to the top of the mizbeach and you dip your finger in the cup. You dip it and you apply it very delicately on the corners of the mizbeach. That's called a maisa nesina. And then we learned in the Masechta Pesachim, Daf Yomi, the carbon Pesach is unique. It could be the carbon Taidu also, is where you actually, you don't do zrika, you do what's called shaficha. You pour it delicately on the foundation of the mizbeach on one side. So basically, if I'm not mistaken, there are four different ways to apply blood to the mizbeach. The most common is what's called zurika. You hold in your hand the utensil and you throw it. And then as you throw, you come to a stop, and the velocity in the utensil and that act cause the blood to spurt on the mizbeach. Usually, whenever you do zrika, you're doing it on two sides which are four. What does that mean? You do it on the two opposite corners of the mizbeach, below the lower portion. Which two corners? You do it on the corner, the south, the north, the, well, you do it on the southwest and the northeast. They're perpendicular. They're opposite. Why do you do it on those corners? Because when you spurt the blood of the corner, what happens? The blood wraps around the corner. So the blood basically has gone on two sides. And then when you do the same exact thing on the opposite corner, then it's gone on the other two sides. So these two actions, in essence, have caused that blood is now present in all four sides of the mizbeach. You only need to do an act twice. You spurt it twice. And when you spurt it, the blood separates. The blood, part of the blood goes on one side, goes on the north side, and it goes on the east side. And then when you go to the opposite corner, you do the same thing on that corner, so part of the blood is going to be going on the west side, and part of it is going on the southern side. So after you do these two actions of spurting, it's not cold, you've gone around the mizbeach, and you've gone soviv, you've gone all the way around the mizbeach. And the question over here is, if that's what the pasuk means by soviv, you do it in two corners by doing Zuriko, maybe what you should do is you should take your finger and make a nice, perfect red line around color, paint color. Take your finger and make a nice red line from the blood all the way around in this bath to fulfill what it says, the word Saviv. So the Rashi says that's impossible because it says the word Vizorak. And Zark means to throw. If you're going to throw, it's not going to happen. You're going to have a red line all the way around the Mizbeach Sofet. Therefore, the only proper understanding is you have the blood in the basin and you throw it in these two corners, and in essence, you now have a blood appears on all four sides of the Mizbeach. Let's see, Vizorko, I mean, Lamatim, Vizorko, 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 that's why it says, Saviv, She'adam Nitan, Bedalid, Ruchos HaMizbeach. Okay, oh, Yachol, Yachin, Chut, maybe you should go put it with your finger, like a string, no, Vizorko, you have to do a Zrika. V'yavshul ha'akid, Vizrika. If Vizorko, Yachol, Vizrika, Achas, maybe one Zrika should be enough, only in one corner, Tam Lema Saviv, Ha'keitzad, Okay, man, he's saying another very important halacha. I thought it meant that you do this rika on the Mizbech Achitza that is standing in the Pesach al Moed. He's saying something different. He's saying the only time you can do this rika on the Mizbech is only when you have an Ohel Moed. But if there is no Ohel Moed, the Ohel Moed has been disassembled because they're traveling now, the Nani HaKavod has indicated it's time to move, to travel, then you can no longer do the Zrika. The Zrika can only be done on the Mizbech when you have an Ohel Moed that is present. If the Ohel Moed is not present, you cannot do the Zrika. And that's relevant Bizman Hazeh. Why is this relevant Bizman Hazeh? Because there have been people who have argued through other generations that Bizman Hazeh, in the year 2021, we are able to break a Korban Pesach. You're able today, could you imagine today, even if Mashiach does not come, Chas V'Sholem, you're able today, Chayoyim, in the year 2021, to go to the Temple Mount and offer a real Korban Pesach Mizman Hazeh. What are you talking about? First of all, you need Kohanim. So we got Kohanim. What's wrong with the guy who got Shlishi yesterday? Not yesterday. Yesterday was Tuesday. Tomorrow. Tomorrow they're planning on giving a guy Shlishi, right? Again, giving the guy Shlishi, Kohen. Whoever you give Kohen to in the shul, he's good enough. He's good enough to do the Avodah. Gedoyla Chazaka. What are you going to tell me? That he's Tomei? Toma Chotro B'tzibur. So, what's holding us back? We need clothing? You need clothing? Big Day Kahuna? No, you don't. You can wear Big Day Lavan. Or we'll make clothing. So we know you need Tcheles. It's not much. You need. It's a good kash. You need to wear a kohen gadol. Need to wear clothing. They wear. I don't wear tchelas. The kohen gadol is tchelas. There's no tchelas. There's no tchelas in the clothing of the ordinary kohen. So we can make clothing for them. It's not a problem. So what else do we need? You need the location of the mizbeach. Okay. We're entitled. We'll bring out all of the scientists, all of the gadol Yisrael, and we'll make an analysis, and we'll take a vote. We'll take a vote, the best of our knowledge, where is the precise location of the Mizbeach. And we'll build a square Mizbeach. Just has to be square. And then we'll bring a Korban Pesach. We'll slaughter it, and we will collect its blood, and we will apply the blood to the Mizbeach. Oh, you're going to say to me, what do you mean? But it says here in the Pasuk, it says you can only put blood on the Mizbeach when the Mizbeach is Lifnei, Ohel Moed, Asher Pesach, Ohel Moed. And if there is no Heichol like today, then you can't do this. No, that's not a problem. It only says Asher Pesach, Ohel Moed, by an Oila, by a Chatos, by an Osham, but by a Korban Pesach, it doesn't say that the Shaficha, the spilling of the blood has to be before the Pesach Ohel Moed. So Bizman Hazeh, you can tell the Arabs, get lost, get out of here. This is our place. What are you doing over here? Drive them out. Raise the whole area up there on the Temple Mount. Clean it up, all the garbage. And then go, do the best you can. Bring together all the Gedolei Yisrael who know this matter. They'll take a vote. And you go after the majority, and you assume this is the location of the Mizbeach until you know otherwise, and you build the Mizbeach, You build a mizbeach. It doesn't have to be perfect. Doesn't have to be any special size. It should be square. The one that it's ma'akim, it should be perfectly square. And you'll then go take kohanim, and you'll do the avodah. You'll bring a korban pesach, and we'll roast it, and we'll eat bezman hazeh korban pesach. Oh, you need an ol moed? No, you don't. You only need an ol moed like in this pasuk where it says asher pesach ol moed. Where by the bakar by. The carbon oil, and likewise the chabad does not say this by a carbon pesach. So that's what Shavuot says. Only when it comes to karbanos, there's what is talking about. Yes, it's because means you're going to slaughter. Yos bar Torah, the axe. Kodesh Hashem, the karvun bnei Aaron and kahanoya yos dema their blood. The Yizrukun yos dema al midbucha. They're going to throw on the mizbeach sechar the bisra mashkan zidna. And what does that mean? It means in the gate. Bisra means the gate, right opposite the gate. The Pesach is called the gate of the Mashkan Zimna, which means the Ohel Moed, the Moed that's only to be temporary. And what does it say over here in that Ma'at Sodi in Pasik? Finish up very quickly. What's over the Ma'at Sodi in Pasik? Pasik Hey, Ma'at Sodi. Let's see, very, very quick. Sechar. Around, round and around. Targum shall saviv who schar schar mishum shall saviv dam kein vila kafula kamos sav sav kei the ilu kiven saviv the ilu kiven shall sav yavoi lepa amim ala hekev habilti shalem shaloi charfu be saviv kwa vayit vayachtu lusimus hayar shachav be hekev saviv kidei lutzayin hekev shalem kafula inkulitz vetikim schar schar vadam. Now, it appears, maybe I'm making a mistake, I don't know what's going on over here, but he seems to be saying over here that the fact that he says the word sechor, sechor, and he has a long Irish, is there an indication that there's a disagreement between Rashi and the Targum? And the Targum learns that indeed when it comes to carbon oil, you have to mamash paint a red line around the mizbeach. Is that correct? And Rashi, that's why Rashi was bothered. And Rashi over here, get all worked up. And he typed the word sechar sechar to mean the zarkoi. It means lekach nemar saviv. She'adam niten bedalid ruchoi samizbeach. Oh, maybe what it means yachal yakifeno kichut. This maybe is what the Targum is saying. Targum disagrees. Because the Targum doesn't just say the word Saviv to mean Stam is Sechar. Sechar, Sechar! And over here, the Ma'at Sari said, what is the Targum doing? What's he adding two words? Sechar, Sechar. You should do it around the Mizbeach, Sechar, Sechar. That's a little bit going a little too much. Sechar, Sechar. Why does he say the two words? Maybe indeed over here, there's a machlokes between the Targum and Rashi. Targum, he seems to indicate something which is a little bizarre because it's Shleik Halacha. We don't pass it like that whatsoever. That the blood goes all the way around the Mizbeach. That's why he says Sechar, Sechar. And don't make a mistake that it only goes partially around the Mizbeach, because then he would have a different word. Whereas Rashi says what the Halacha is, Uncle is incorrect. You don't go all the way around the Mizbeach. Only two corners. And when it says the word Saviv, it means make sure blood touches each one of the four corners. But the blood does not need to go all the way around like a chut. It would appear that's what's bothering Rashi. What Rashi is always coming to pick up on something unusual in the Targum. Sechor, Sechor is indeed unusual because the repetition of the word. And Rashi says, don't make a mistake and think that. It means just for the word Sechor, Saviv, blood should touch each one of the four corners. Okay, we've got to stop here. Everybody said, thank you very, very much for coming and learning with me. It's very meaningful to me this year. Thank you very, very much. Have a wonderful evening. All the best. Mirshem Seal tomorrow. Thank you. Blazer, thank you. Norman, thank you for coming. And Mayor Appeldorf, Eshekoyach, for coming and being quiet and making a lot of noise at the same time. As long as the noise you made was at home and not to us.
I think my silence makes more noise than my noise.
Deafening. The silence was deafening. All right. Oh, look at you. Where'd all that hair go? The Klippas. Where are the Klippas? Where will the Klippas go? The Klippas.
I told to sell it. You should sell it.
Shaito. They'll say that a human here will be off of the Zoram here.
Yeah, I agree with it. my ears, I'm going to say.
Remember back in the day when Lipa Schmelzer he got into a sichsuch with Rabbi Shur.
Yeah, how's he doing, Rabbi Shur?
He's doing much better, Baruch Hashem. He wasn't doing too well.
Spivak was nifted today, Lansi.
Who's Spivak? Who's that?
He does Kimro, but he has a radio program.
How old is he?
I don't know, must be in the 70s maybe.
I don't know who it is. The name is very familiar. But remember back in the day when he had a sichsuch, there was something going on there between Rabbi Shur and Lipa Schmelzer.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
Rabbi
yeah.
Shur, he said, Lipus Klipus.
Yeah, but Lipa was smart.
He was very smart. Lipa knew exactly what to do. Lipa was a genius. He knew exactly how to handle it. He knew what to do. Those are my two heroes, Lipa and Rush Limbaugh.
I know he got a degree in social work, and I think he's going for a doctorate in social
work. Yeah, PhD. Lipa, he knew what to do. You know who else knew what to do? Rush Limbaugh. Remember when Rush Limbaugh, he went and he was caught? He told one of his maid to get him painkillers. He was addicted to painkillers. So he asked the maid to go get him whatever. He got it legally. He got a hold of the painkillers and they caught it. Oh, they caught him, a celebrity, they caught him. So what did he do? He's brilliant what he did. He says, okay, you're right, Chotosi, Avisi, I'm going for therapy. I'm going on vacation for therapy, paid vacation. I'm going for therapy. Yeah, he went for therapy for a couple of days. He takes off for 2 months, and he comes back. Wow, what an experience. I gotta tell you, he made out of this. He took the opportunity, got caught doing the crime, and he made out of the crime. He capitalized on it. He made money on it. He made got a vacation out of it, and he made money on made money off it. And he made out of it. He made himself into the biggest celebrity. Another person would have fought. No, I did nothing wrong. Blah, 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 blah. And they would come. They would arrest him. You're right. Chotosi, Avisi, therapy. I need to go for therapy. It was brilliant. Mamish brilliant. He knew what to do exactly. Lipa Schmelzer de Zelbesach. Am I sure? Got fuming mad at him. For good reason. For very good reason. He got very mad at Lipa. For very good reason. Lipa, what did he do? Chotosi, Poshati, Avisi. He comes the next day to Rabbi Shur's Daf Yom Yishir, and he sits there and he says, Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, teach me how to do teshuvah. Teach me what to do. Teach me how to do teshuvah, how to be masaki myself. That was it. He won. Lipa, he won in Mamash. Hands down, the whole world was so impressed with Lipa, and they were very angry about Rabbi Shur, even though Rabbi Shur was really right. Even though he was really right in getting fuming mad, temper, he went off the handle, he was right. But the way Lipa knew how to handle it by Shur was unreal. Unreal. And then you'll take another guy, who I'm not going to mention his name, but you know who he is. They came down on him, they said he's an Apikoris, blah, blah, blah. And you know what he said? He said, I'm the Apikoris. You're the Apikoris. And he fought them. And you know who lost? He ended up losing big. Big, he lost big time. You gotta know crisis management. Crisis management, you gotta know how to deal with a crisis. The OU, they paid big money for this. OU, when they got caught at the slaughterhouse, Peta, whatever they call it, they caught them, the guy came with the video camera. They showed how they abused the behemoths before they do shechita. And it went viral. So the OU didn't know what to do. The OU, they got caught. So they one of their guys, they said something, and it made it a lot worse. He made a very foolish statement, and then it went totally out of control. So what did the OU do? I know firsthand, I know the guy who worked there. He told me the OU shelled out big, big bucks. They hired one of the biggest companies in America that helps you deal with crisis for the media. All the celebrities, they hired in this company. The celebrities in these companies, when they get into a lot of trouble, they need to know how to deal with the media. So they these are professionals, they're psychologists and have experience. They tell you exactly what to do, what to say. They write your speech for you, how to deal with a crisis. And they owe you. They pay big bucks for this, and they help them a lot. It helped them a lot. And from then on in, every time they have a problem, a crisis, they already have experience in dealing with the crisis. All right, we've got to stop here. Everybody have a wonderful day.